was good.
There we go.
Good.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm, right. Yeah, so resonance. Yeah, do you think it was Keanu Reeves specifically, or is it just any celebrity inclusion? Oh yeah, just to clarify for everyone, I just showed Lockie here the 2019 E3 trailer, the cinematic trailer for Cyberpunk 2077, the new RPG to come out next year from CD Projekt Red.
Yeah, fuck, the graphics look pretty fucking insane. I mean,
CGI trailer, so it's not indicative of what the graphics will be, but I'll show you a gameplay trailer later, and it looks like it's going to be pretty amazing. But
like, just the environments and stuff, that all looked real. As soon as they actually put human characters in, that's when I'm like, oh, okay, I'm watching a video game cinematic trailer. But before that, I was like, fuck, this looks like it could have been shot in a city somewhere.
Mm, for sure. And it's all the attention to detail, though, and that's evident when you see the actual gameplay as well, too. It's all the little stuff they put around there. Like, you notice that weird robot with blue lipstick or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Just went quickly passing by.
Yeah, it was fucking random, and I'm like, why? Why? I'm just confused as to if you are designing robots in the future, why are you giving them blue lipstick?
But why anything with art, though? That's the whole thing.
Yeah, like, I know.
Part of this whole thing is there's it's part of the culture.
But they don't have anything else going on. Like, they don't have eyebrows or anything, but for some reason they have obviously blue lipstick cosmetics added on top of the robot. So, I don't know, it was just, it was very jarring, and I mean, it did its job, it got my attention. I'm just thinking, like, if you're living in that sort of world and you're trying to sell your robots, is that really the best business model to make people, like, sort of be freaked out initially by them?
I don't know. I guess it depends on what the culture's like around then. Maybe they're into stuff that looks less human.
It's not about that, man, though. All the humans weren't wearing blue lipstick.
But that's the whole
Explain
thing, though.
That
like,
little,
well, yeah, I'm sure there's some humans that wear blue lipstick, you know what I mean? I'm sure that happens all the time.
They're cool. Have you heard of...
I was trying to look cyberpunk, dude.
Have you heard of blaxploitation films?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so like that character, the sort of cool reggae club owner, he kind of felt like a blaxploitation character. Particularly when he was angry, because he was obviously meant to sound cool and play it cool, but he couldn't quite pull off being pissed off and being cool at the same time.
Mm, it's going to be interesting to see if they can pull off those characters, because we've seen them do that sort of fantasy world where I guess a lot of them sound American when they did The Witcher 3.
I have no issue with that. Look, man, I grew my first big sort of JRPG game was Final Fantasy X, and that was very much all of that. But you had your main character Tidus, which was at least for me, from my standpoint, I think I was 12 at the time, and that was the first sort of like more androgynous looking character. I legit thought Tidus was a lesbian when I was first playing the character, until a couple of times I heard him speak. What?
How old were you when you played?
I was like 12. I was pretty young.
Yep.
This was like the first thing that I saw that really was, you know, properly Japanese. And like, you learn quickly after that how to sort of understand, you recontextualize.
I thought you'd played Final Fantasy VII and stuff.
No, I didn't. Cause, I don't know, for whatever reason.
Well, you didn't have PlayStation.
Yeah. No, I had a PlayStation.
Oh, okay.
And no, and that's a bizarre thing. I actually had a PlayStation where my uncle was really cool. He actually was one of the few people back in the day in the 90s that knew how to burn shit. And so we had fucking the biggest library on the planet of all the PS1 stuff. But somehow Final Fantasy VII was not in that library.
I had a PlayStation growing up, and I never played Final Fantasy VII. I think it was just because I was a kid, and like, you know, I look at the covers of games, and some kind of bandicoot who has this all this colourful crap going on compared to these weird random anime characters. And I wasn't into anime when I was a kid. It wasn't until like Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z came around when I was a little bit older that.
Yeah, but man, it's like, why not both? Da, 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 da. Yeah. Like, it's fucking great.
Yeah,
both are wonderful.
It just didn't look appealing to me when I was a kid, I guess. And I'd never had any friends who had it as well, and they all had PlayStation. So I guess it just never came across me. I didn't really even know it existed until I started following video games a lot closer in my teen years and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. So,
but anyway, yeah. Going back to
Cyberpunk. So it's going to be released on the 16th of April in 2020. And oh my god, I'm so excited for this! Like, it looks like it's just going to be a super dense first person RPG. Where the city apparently isn't going to be like as widespread as what the map is in The Witcher, which makes absolute sense to me. But it's going to be a lot more vertical and a lot denser with stuff to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which it should be, because it's a massive city, you know. It should be tons of stuff to do.
And that's the thing. The Witcher open overworld map was absolutely massive, and there are large swaths of it where there's nothing to do and you're just trying to get from one checkpoint to the other to see what's on the map for shit to do.
They've made great games before, but I'll just be curious to see how they go with this one. Like, they did a really good fantasy world. Can they do like future sci-fi fantasy? We'll have to. Well, it's not really fantasy,
I think they'll be
future
fine.
Sci-fi, we'll
I think they'll to. Be fine.
I hope that, because they seem to be the kind of developers that don't shy away from politics and stuff. So I'm hoping that they sort of dive in with a bit of that. And it seems like they are doing that, because like in this future, everything's run by corporations and whatnot. Similar to Outer Worlds kind of a thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing where I think, look, when it comes to sci-fi genres, they're you know, they're not. That is essentially what most sci-fi genres and movies sort of go after, is the ultra-capitalist society. Like, I don't know. Even with movies, like, I don't know of too many sci-fis where it sort of delineates that. You either have ultra-capitalism and or aliens. And sometimes those aliens are also zombies at the same time. And that's it. That's sort of your sci-fi world. And I fucking love it. I'll eat it up every time. If it's done well, it's got good writing, I'm happy. I did notice something, and I'm going to have a very unpopular opinion on this, I know straight off the bat, because I'm a cynical asshole, but the Keanu Reeves reveal.
Yes, it's funny. That was one of the most successful sort of celebrity reveals I've ever seen in a game reveal, because he came out on stage afterwards and everyone lost their fucking minds. And Keanu Reeves became a meme for a while. Like, he was just everywhere and just, I don't know, everyone was just sort of just basking in the glow of the great Keanu Reeves. I don't know, he's just so beloved. I don't know if you've ever seen him in interviews, and he's always just so fucking wonderful and humble and nice. Like, you know, like any celebrity, who knows if behind closed doors is an absolute monster, but like, you read into all this stuff.
Like
about
Kevin
Keanu.
Spacey.
Sorry?
Like Kevin Spacey.
Like Kevin Spacey, exactly. Or Cardinal Pell.
You don't know if we're going to get, like, you know, in the news a month from now, it turns out that Keanu Reeves is a pedo this whole time, and the game has to.
That would destroy me.
Yeah, well, destroy everyone. Everyone loves him. I mean, I think it's because, you know, he does have a popular background. I mean, everyone loves The Matrix, at least the first one. Mm. But what's the popular action show called? Oh, action movie trilogy?
Oh, John Wick.
John Wick, that's it.
Yeah, that's one everyone's frothing over him at the moment about.
And I think it's that sort of goodwill that's, like, really got him, you know, in the forefront.
Yeah, he's worth a Google, though. He has all these really, like, sad stories attached to him. That's a big part of why people love him. And there's just been some funny memes. Like, there was someone got a photo of him sitting on a park bench eating a sandwich, and he just looked really sad. So people, like, you know, just went to town memeing it, and, you know, photoshopping, like, cats everywhere and all this kind of shit.
It's just because he has black hair.
Yeah, he looks sad. Like, he doesn't smile a lot. It's not something that he does a lot. Like,
that's the thing. He would just have a neutral expression. Yeah, that's what most people look like. Like, normally.
He's
like, and he's just eating his lunch, and it's because he's got black hair and he has pale skin. Like, people are like, just, you know, getting that goth. I think it's sort of the gothic style that's doing the sad work for him.
I love it. I love it when celebrities
try to eat his lunch.
Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories, and also your place to come for gaming impressions. Each and every single bloody week, released on a Monday. My name is Zach, and I'm here, as I am every week, with my wonderful co-host, Lockie. How the fuck are you, Lockie?
Thank you so much for that introduction, Zach. That was nice.
I always call you wonderful. I need to find some more adjectives to describe you.
I don't know. I don't mind it. I don't get
wonderful,
too many compliments.
Wonderful, wondrous. There's other ones that don't start with W, I'm sure I could use.
Wonderful, whimsical. Yeah, yeah, there is a bottom on this thing. yeah. So, how's your week gone, Zach?
No, it's been absolutely nuts because I've been working during this Black Friday period, and my God.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane. Just to let everyone know out there, the Black Friday deals aren't that great. Like, everyone's just sort of being tricked into just coming in because they just know Black Friday's on and they think they're going to get a good deal. But most of the time, there's just deals on a few specific items and whatever they've come in to get specifically, they're still paying full fucking price for. But anyway, that's my quick rant about Black Friday.
Cynical Jesus, view on Black Friday.
Man. Any kind of holiday that encourages spending, I have a very cynical view about.
Why is it such
Christmas?
A fucking,
I'm very over Christmas now.
Why is it such a fucking depressing name?
Yeah, hey, yeah, Black Friday. Maybe because people used to get trampled and killed in the United States.
Yeah, I know. Well, like, that's fucking horrible. So why would... Anyway.
I don't know. Let's all celebrate fucking capitalism at its finest.
Yeah. Anyway, it's... I understand why it's popular. It's the last sort of official sale before Christmas, so, you know...
And because anything that's popular in America now is popular here, basically, because, you know, we're all just one big world sandwich now.
That's right. We get Halloween over here now. But
I like that, though. I like Halloween.
Yeah, it's all right.
The kids like it. You know what I mean? And, like, you're just buying lollies. You're not spending millions of dollars on fucking shit. No one's spending millions of dollars. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, fucking, it's not this real cynical thing where,
But I saw, I was shopping the other day at a bulk meat place, and it was selling 2 kilos worth of chicken hearts for reduced price. And I was thinking,
it's a Black Friday special.
Maybe, yeah. Chicken hearts. And I was thinking if the kiddies find out about this because it's really fucking cheap, if it's Halloween and they don't get the candy that they want, they could pelt the house with chicken hearts.
Ooh. We're just quick disclaimer, we are not suggesting that anyone should do that, as funny as it would be. You know what would happen? There'd
could
be
you
like,
imagine fucking waking up and seeing your house covered in little lumps of meat?
Yeah, but you know what thinking about is the fucking next day when you have fucking birds covering your entire house and shitting everywhere because they're eating all these fucking chicken hearts everywhere.
Oh my God, that would be so fucking...
That would be the funniest thing ever. Yeah. No one ever do it. Yeah, we do not...
we're not telling anyone to do it, but if they do, please send us pictures.
Please tweet really, us, no, don't.
Because it's really funny.
Really
funny. I know. Yeah, well, it's fucking now 11 months until the next Halloween, so a bit late, but fuck, that would be great.
Let's jump in the news before we end up getting sued by somebody. In the news this week, it's pretty bloody quiet again. There's not a whole fucking lot going on. The games have stopped releasing now. Like, pretty much after Pokemon came out, there's not really been anything of any sort of interest to me, at least. I don't know. Have you had anything that you've been interested in at all?
No, I've just been following the Tesla truck thing.
Yeah, the Tesla truck. Well, let's try to stick to video games.
No, Elon Musk is kind of a video game character when you think about it.
He feels like
he could go crazy and become a Bond villain, like, in a second. But, yeah, we'll try and stay on.
Man, I do not want to live on Elon Musk's Mars. I feel like there's going to be, like, a massive statue erected to him that pierces the atmosphere, and he's going to live in the head, and everyone's just going to bring everything to him. And, like, how are you going to compete with that? It's Elon fucking Musk.
I don't know. He's got a sense of humor, and that's the thing. Like, even if you're going to be an absolutely evil dictator, if you have a sense of humor, that's still way better than most leaders humanity has ever had, really, when you think about it.
I'm sure... Look, Donald Trump has a sense of humor.
He does.
He jokes around all the time.
His jokes aren't great. They don't land well.
Well, I don't find him funny when he attempts to be funny. I think he's like the greatest satirical character who doesn't realize that he's a fucking satire, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, if someone was writing him, you'd say that they were a comedy genius. But he just says it because that's him, and it's fucking just the actual garbage that he believes.
Well, the thing
is... Oh, my God. All right, look. Let's get back on track. We went from Elon Musk to Donald Trump. Okay, so just real quickly, I'm just going to list the games that are coming out this week now, just to show how little is coming out. All that has come out of note at the moment is Grizz has come to PS4, which is a game that was released last year. It might have been earlier this year. Actually, yeah, I think it's been in the Game of the Year talk. So, look, I'll probably give this a play just because it's had a lot of good buzz and there's nothing out at the moment. And Where Grizz. The Water Turns to Wine, which was a PC title that came out earlier. It was either last year or earlier this year. And it unfortunately flopped, but was reviewed very well. It's like an adventure, sort of point-and-click adventure, one of those dialogue-heavy ones. You're sort of moving around a map, and it's about telling stories.
Okay, well, you haven't seen those. It's like a big...
Yeah, well, I haven't played either of those, and I want to give Disco Elysium a try, which is a version of that as well, too. So I'm going to see if my piece of shit 7-year-old laptop can actually manage to play that.
Oh, dude, it can play it. It's really basic.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll give that a shot. It sounds, just from the stuff I've heard from the impressions, the kind of wacky story it has, it just sounds interesting to me. So I'll figure... I'll give it a crack. Why not? I'll be a PC gamer. I'll join the PC Master Race for
Mate,
a moment.
I'm a PC gamer, and I could only play it for an hour, and I'm just like, where's the game?
Yeah.
So it's very narrative
driven. There's not a whole lot coming out, as you can see. It's sort of a bit dead. So I think we'll be playing a lot of older titles, and I'm gonna go back and I think I'll do a bit of a debrief on Anthem,
which is
a game that came out earlier this year and has just been a fascinating tale. The story around it. There's been so many massive exposés. There's been a great massive expose by Kotaku. Look, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll wait till we actually talk about it before I get into it all. But it's a fascinating story around Anthem, and then they got a big update coming soon, so I'm going to give it a go before it has the update, and I'll have a play of it afterwards too, and I'll get back to you to see if it's still a mess or if maybe they might have actually fixed it up a little bit. But right now Anthem's sitting at about like 45 viewers or something on Twitch, which is not
good,
not very good.
Well, it's been out forever. I mean, like, it's
it's
the question is, it keeps getting middling reviews whenever it keeps saying, oh, this is the new version, now it's good, and it keeps getting middling reviews.
Well, they promised a sort of rollout of content that they've gone back on now because they wanted to focus more on bug fixes, and we thought it was basically going to be abandoned until they decided, no, we're going to be doing Anthem next, and it's going to be similar to how No Man's Sky did No Man's Sky Next or something like that. It was something very similar.
I don't want to fucking play No Man's Sky.
You don't want to?
No, I got it at the beginning, right? And I got burnt like everyone else did. And they're like, oh, it'll be better eventually. And apparently it's a lot better now. But I still don't want to fucking play it.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. You have your shot. And people are excited about it. And they're excited about the thing. And it either works or it doesn't. I don't know if these sort of like ongoing, it'll eventually be good models are all that effective.
I tried No Man's Sky about a year ago, so it was before that they had the really massive update, but they'd still added a lot of stuff like base building, and a lot of people had said, oh, it's much better now. So I thought I'd give it a crack, and yeah, I just found it boring. I wasn't interested in playing it. But I don't know, it depends. Do you like Minecraft? And, maybe you'd like it a bit more now because the base building's gotten pretty insane.
Yeah, look, I liked Minecraft, but I wasn't exactly clamoring for more Minecraft.
Okay, well, yeah. No Man's Sky, not the greatest. I was lucky with that one. I saw it and I was like, there is going to be nothing to do in this. I'm not going to get it. And then when it came out, the main thing that everyone said in the reviews was, No Man's Sky is just a whole lot of nothing. Oh, shocker. They said, whenever someone says you create your own story, that means they have nothing for you to do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that means.
You fucking do it. You do the work.
You tell the story. Sea of Thieves, you create your own story.
I know. How fucking great is that with marketing where, like, they're just given this absolute turd of a game and they're like, oh, it's a sandbox world. Sandbox. That means you can use your imagination to fill in the gaps.
Sea of Thieves, apparently another one of those games has gotten better. But look,
fuck it. I'm still not getting it.
Let's jump into the video game news anyway. So The first story I'm going to talk about today is the Pokemon Company are suing some Discord users. This story is...
What?
So this story is written by Luke Plunkett out of Kotaku. And earlier this month, before the game's release of Pokemon Sword and Shield, leaked images of Pokemon Sword and Shield started turning up online. That's pretty normal for a big video game, but the Pokemon Company are taking the matter very seriously. So seriously that they are asking a court if they can serve subpoenas on 4chan and Discord.
Oh, fuck off.
So, as reported by Forbes, in an attempt to track down and punish those responsible for the leaks, the Pokemon Company hired outside forensic experts who were able to identify 4 Discord users, one of whom was the actual source, the other 3 helping them disseminate the images on places like 4chan and Reddit. While the Discord usernames have been discovered, the Pokemon Company doesn't know who these people actually are, and so have gone to the US District Court in Seattle in an attempt to get hold of information from Discord and 4chan that could help in tracking them down. Basically what's happened is that someone's gotten access to a strategy guide and they've taken some photos and they've posted it up online. And the rules around these strategy guides and just the Pokemon games in general are insane. Like if you do any work on them at all, you've got to sign all these NDAs. And if you're going to like just be one of the people holding them in a warehouse, all that kind of stuff, you're signing NDAs. Yep. So it seems like, you know, that's why they're really, really going after these people. I'd be pretty scared if I was someone out there who just saw a random image on Discord of you know, these leaked Pokemon and you shared it somewhere.
It's one of those things where it's like everyone's already really pissed off with Game Freak at the moment anyway. Do they really, what is the sensibility behind this? What are they hoping to achieve by suing a random person? I don't even know how they're going to calculate damages, because how does it damage their product?
Yeah, they could always say that, look, because a big part of the controversy before the game came out was people saw the Pokemon that were going to be in there and they weren't happy about it. So they could easily argue that damaged sales.
Yeah, well, that's that's a fucked argument, because it was already a feature of the game. And people should have known about that anyway, because that would have been marketed. That would have been illegal from a marketing standpoint if they were promising a full lineup, a full Pokedex.
Yeah, but do you think? Yeah, but they never said they were. But like, they can still argue that if people had waited and seen, it wouldn't have affected their outcome. You know, I'm just saying from the most cynical way that a corporation would argue it. That's the kind of point I'd say it from, and they're going to argue in the way that they can sue them for as much as they fucking possibly can.
I hope that person that committed the crime is in Australia, because damages in Australia at least are reasonable and actually have to be like calculated. You have to actually go, well, because of your action, this actually cost our company this amount in sales, therefore we're suing you for this amount. And it has to be really clear. It can't just be some whimsical number that you throw at them, some giant fucking $2 million or whatever. Yeah. I would be very, very suspicious of how they could really blame that leak specifically for the harming of their sales. Like, I'm not saying that it's right or anything, leaking's wrong and it is a crime and they're, you know, they're right to get the shits and go after them. I just don't think it's sensible that they already have a lot of their consumers really pissed off with them at the moment. Their user reviews on Metacritic is an easy example of that, where they're getting like fucking 4s for their game, for apparently their best game ever. But like, you know, for them to fucking go after all these randos and blame them for like their own inherent issues with the game, just what a fucking massive cop out.
I agree with you, obviously. Like, I'm just saying that's where I think they would argue it from. I really don't know, but it'd be a hard argument to make anyway, because it's been the most successful Pokemon release to date. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to argue that it costs them any money.
You know what they should be doing with that money that they're investing in lawyers? Investing in a bigger fucking team so they can render their trees properly. Fuck.
Yeah, oh.
Like,
just fucking
get a bigger team.
Just let someone else use the license for a game. Why, are they the only fucking motherfuckers who get to make these fucking Pokemon games, Pokemon RPGs?
But the thing is, that's fine. They can do that. They can still keep it within their company. Just hire more people that are competent at actually bringing it into the 3D platform. Because clearly, like, you know, they... Look, I'm not going to say everything was incompetent. Like, the character designs, you know, sort of the environments were a little bit old, but, you know, getting there. The character designs and the Pokemon designs were fine.
Yeah.
No problems there. It's just... I don't know. It just felt like a rushed, incomplete game. The environments, especially like the trees and objects and shit, like really drop at various points. And you're just like, what am I playing a fucking PlayStation 1 game? It's crazy.
Mm, yeah, we've had Super Mario Odyssey now, and we've had Zelda Breath of the Wild now. Like, there's no excuse for this garbage. Like, yeah, it's an RPG, so it's obviously not going to look quite as good as what, you know, those games are going to look. But
no, but a lot of RPGs look fucking incredible.
Yeah, and saying that, there's a ton.
That's the whole point of RPGs, that you really focus on the fucking world immersion.
Mm.
And you do that by putting effort into the graphics.
I don't get it. It's super disappointing. Like, I found myself, I know I was really high on it last week, but I've found myself, I messaged you earlier yesterday saying, I've just lost so much interest in it. Now it feels like a slog to get through because they're just... They just haven't done enough new.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You still have some animations where all they're doing is, as you mentioned during your impressions, all they're doing is getting the character model for the Pokemon, and they're just moving it up and down or left to right and then shooting something out of it, and that's the fucking animation.
Like, yeah, it
just seems like they weren't... I feel like so long as they can keep making and releasing the same game and just only stepping things up in the tiniest amount possible, they're going to keep doing it if people are going to keep buying it. You know what I mean? It's the same reason. It's why NBA and FIFA and that barely change year to year, because people buy it every fucking year. They don't care. They just want to be, you know, they want to be in the zeitgeist and have the latest game and make sure they can get every fucking player who's ever come out. I don't know.
That works for a while, though. You can't keep doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, with sports games, yes, you can, because that's a very specific user base. With the Pokemon games, people will just wait until a good title comes out, because they have a very strong competitor scene, and unless the game title's really good in the competitor scene standpoint, people won't jump over.
Yeah. I think, they're a different story to things like Pokemon and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Well, people are still playing Smash Brothers Melee, aren't they, in esports and whatnot? Is it Melee or is it Brawl?
Nah, definitely Melee. Brawl.
No, okay, not
Brawl. I liked Brawl. I thought Brawl was good, but I understand why people in the competitive scene like Melee better, because it was like everything physically was like a lot faster, and everything in Brawl everyone felt like they were floating.
Okay,
yeah. So like you did notice.
Okay, so you know, we were just talking about some serious litigation from the Pokemon company. And now there's been some more litigation. Well, I say now, it was actually about a month ago, but we missed the story, and I wanted to bring it up on a quieter week because it's an interesting story. Fortnite is addictive as drugs. Did you know that?
Well, you know what? As someone,
allegedly,
as someone who's most of his life has been ravaged by Dota, I can believe this. Certain games can be fucking addictive.
Well, this article comes out of Reuters. A Montreal-based law firm is preparing a class action lawsuit on behalf of two parents who claim that the popular game Fortnite is as addictive as cocaine. The firm, Calex Legal, represents unidentified plaintiffs who are the parents of a 10 and 15-year-old. The legal action alleges that Fortnite, when played for a long period, causes the player's brain to release the pleasure hormone dopamine in the same way that some drugs create a chemical addiction. Epic Games, when they created Fortnite, for years and years hired psychologists. They really dug into the human brain, and they really made the effort to make it as addictive as possible.
Yeah.
Alessandra Esposito Chartrand, a Calex legal attorney, said on CBC Canada, they knowingly put on the market a very, very addictive game, which was also geared toward youth. The lawsuit claims Epic Games failed to warn players of the addictive risks of its third-person shooter game, citing a 2015 ruling in Quebec Superior Court that determined tobacco companies didn't warn the public of the dangers of smoking. So I feel like that's a very, it's a very sort of tenuous thing to sort of tie it to, saying like video games are the same as smoking. Because you're not going to fucking die of cancer from playing video games.
Yeah, well, I suppose they'd be arguing, you know, the harm of their addiction, you know, they're kids, so I suppose studies, because I mean, what else literally are they meant to be doing?
Look, but they're not wrong in saying that the video games hire psychologists. They 100% do that. They use the exact same sort of mechanics that gambling does to give you that dopamine release and hook people in. They 100% do that, but it's just that some games do it just to keep you playing and engaged in the story.
Yeah.
And some games do it to try and sell you loot boxes.
And that's the thing. So, like, if there's loot boxes and that sort of mechanics involved, then, yeah, I totally get where there's an argument. But if it's just something, if it's just a product that is being sold to entertain people, you can't then sue them for entertaining people too effectively. That's the entire purpose of the product. The entire purpose is for them to release dopamine because it is activating their pleasure center. Therefore, they're enjoying the product. That's the entire purpose. There's nothing wrong or unscrupulous in that context. It's when you get them addicted and then you get them into a psychological state where they're making purchases that they would not otherwise do if they were mentally well.
Yeah, that's right. That's like shit. It's like, say someone was, this is a weird example, someone's addicted to watching Fight Club and they watched it every night and they did to the detriment of their life. They stopped, they started turning up late to work because they're sitting there fucking watching Tyler Durden, whatever his name was. Anyway, and like, would you then be able to sue David Fincher for making something that was too addictive? Because, you know, yeah, I don't know.
It's an interesting standpoint though, because, you know, it did happen with illegal narcotics. Well, not illegal, with narcotics and all that sort of shit. You know, big tobacco companies did get told, well, you know, just because you're specifically selling this product to make people feel a certain way, we're still going to punish you for it. I mean, yeah, there is a bit of an argument there, because it is sort of a, you know, all of the arguments that I was making where I'm like, oh, it's bullshit, when I'm thinking about it in the context of tobacco, I can't really see any difference.
I guess so. I feel like video games just, they have a different sort of, I don't know, they have this sort of stigma attached to them, if that makes sense. Like, you always hear about, you know, people being worried that video games are causing violence, or, you know,
people are worried about everything.
But that's what I mean, though. I feel like, you know, you're never going to hear this about a movie or a book or anything like that. That's what I mean. You don't hear these stories about that.
That's because kids don't read anymore. So parents aren't worried about that. Yeah. If kids started reading more, parents would be worried about the books. And they were at a certain point in time, once upon a time, where everyone was reading and watching TV. They were all like, oh, these TV shows. The 90s was riddled with, oh, these TV shows are evil. Oh, these books are evil. Mm. Yeah, the fucking Pope talk about how Harry Potter was the work of the devil or some bullshit.
And TV was addictive, and melting your brain and blah, blah, blah.
So, like, I don't know. I think just societies go through cycles of whatever kids are focusing on the most. That's what the parents are going to be the most apprehensive about, because they are obviously impacting their children in some capacity and they're scared that it might be a bad one. Some parents are sensible and they teach their children boundaries and how to cope with that shit, and they pay attention to them and, you know, they actually monitor that shit. And other parents freak out and blame society and try and get companies shut down. Like, I don't know why the fuck they do it, but they do. South Park, like, all of South Park seasons 1 to 5 really focused and zeroed in on those types of parents. You know, that personality, and that was massive in the 90s.
Yeah, because there was the whole, like scare that everyone's going to get abducted for a while there. There was a great South Park episode about that.
That's when South Park was best.
You yourselves are most likely to molest your children. And then so they sent the children off to live in the woods so they would get molested.
That's right, and the kids end up becoming, Mongolian hordes.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, the back when South Park was so,
South Park
so
when
great.
Was good. Oh, any kids listening to this podcast? You probably shouldn't be, but that was when South Park was actually good.
Those first 12 seasons were really good. We truly do live in a society. Anyway, Bloody, I know we've been talking a lot about Stadia over the last couple of weeks, but it's just
But it's just so much fun.
It's just the gift that keeps on giving, and we can sit here over in Australia not having to fucking deal with it and just laugh at everyone like trying to play their games and not having the most success by the sounds of it. Stadia is offering refunds for Farming Simulator and Tomb Raider.
Oh.
This story comes out of Ars Technica, written by Kyle Orland. Google had some good news to share with Stadia streaming early adopters yesterday. Their $10 a month Stadia Pro subscription will grant access to two new titles, Farming Simulator 19 Platinum Edition and Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, starting next month. Fun. What a great couple of games to offer. I think PlayStation
They're pretty
had,
old
like,
what, too.
Outlast 2 and like Neo recently. We've had, you know, Metal Gear Solid 5. These guys have Farming Simulator 19 and Tomb Raider. It is the Platinum Edition though.
It's the Platinum Edition. Oh, okay,
and Tomb Raider is the Definitive Edition.
Tomb Raider is at least 3 years old now.
Dude, it's the one that came out on PS3. It's fucking old, man. Oh my god. Very old, very old.
Wow.
Anyway, so those are the games that were coming out, but that didn't come as welcome news to all Stadia owners, though, because those games had already been on sale as Stadia launch titles for the week leading up to the announcement. That means a fair number of Stadia Pro subscribers had spent $49.99 or $9.99. Guess which one of those games is $49.99 and which is $9.99, by the way? Which one do you think? Farming
it's
Simulator?
It's both ridiculous. I mean, I've heard vaguely of Farming Simulator. Have you played it before?
No.
Because is it any good?
Dude, if you want to farm, I'm sure it's fucking fantastic. That's why I don't want
to
play it.
Who the fuck wants to farm?
Exactly.
Farmers are fucking miserable. Yes. They're the most miserable people on the fucking planet.
Yes, they're dealing with drought all the time.
Oh my god.
Fucking suicides rampant in farming communities. It's fucking horrid. Why would you want to sit in front of a fucking PlayStation?
Even when business is good, they're miserable because they have to work hard. Like, it's no win.
Maybe it's for, like, city people who are just so detached from reality. They're like, I don't want to go out to the country and actually get my hands dirty, but I want to see how the other half live.
You know, there's a it reminds me of an old, really old Simpsons episode where they have like VR, and the VR game that they're showcasing is a yard work simulator. And
that was great.
It's just like,
the kids are there like trimming and stuff. Yeah. Oh god. Yeah, well the $49.99 one, that was Farming Simulator, by the way. $10 for Tomb Raider. So anyway, people are spending $50 to farm on their TVs. Google, to its credit, has not ignored these players. Google Stadia only has 22 games in the library, so that's why people were buying these. So in their first week, they've had all these people buy them and then they just release them for free the following week.
Yeah,
so,
I get the feeling that it's sort of just because they're starved of options. You know, they're buying it.
Oh, big time. Big time. Yeah.
That's
so
a shame.
Google, in their credit, because of the proximity, this is their announcement, because of the proximity between the launch of the platform and the announcement of these titles in Stadia Pro, we're happy to assist you if you'd like to request a refund if you have purchased either or both of these titles, even if it's outside of our normal policy. A Google community manager wrote yesterday afternoon. Yeah, they're going to be refunding for these titles if you bought them. So good on you guys, but
You know,
I don't know. It's
deal.
Just another fucking thing to add to the list of bloody blunders that they've had. The thing is too, this subscription is on top of already like paying to have access to Google Stadia anyway. This is for the people who want 4K and 60 frames a second, even though apparently nothing has actually been running at 4K and 60 frames. Well, I don't know if it's been running at 60 frames, but not been running at 4K.
Yeah, and which is the whole fucking point of this system. It's meant to have super powerful computers running your shit.
Exactly right. So people have spent all this money to jump in early expecting to get 4K. And they've basically said, oh, we've done everything we need to do to get it to happen and basically just thrown it back at the developers, sort of suggesting that they got to do stuff on their end to make sure it hits 4K at 60 frames.
Oh, great. Business.
Yeah, it's not a great launch. So, yeah, there are only 22 games currently in the Stadia Pro library with 4 more announced for the rest of the year. So it's going up to 26. Holy shit. Adding 2 free games a month would quickly exhaust that initial lineup, as you just said. And the 14 titles for a 2020 Stadia release so far would only pad things out a bit. especially since brand new releases seem unlikely candidates for Stadia Pro freebies. So,
Zach, why do you think Google is a complete joke of a business?
Oh, look, yeah, well, it's not, but it's weird to me for a company that has the amount of money that it has, that it seems to only dip its toe in and never wants to really put their money where their mouth is. So.
But that's the whole problem. That's what I mean. Mm. They have endless resources, endless wealth, and yet they're still fucking it up so royally, and they're still getting, like, they're down in the dregs where, in all this petty bullshit where they're like, oh, it's this other company's problem. And it's like, no, you're the big name company with your brand attached to this. If it fails, you look like fuckwits.
Not to mention that as we've talked about before, they have this habit of just killing shit when it's not working. Yeah. So, of course, the main worry here is, you know, they've had this terrible launch with reasons why they must know that launching without most of the features that they promised is not going to look good, and all this stuff is not going to look great. But I think it may have been a bit of a rush to get out to try and beat xCloud, which is coming out next year. Like, Microsoft's doing their own sort of a thing.
Yeah, and so I'm sure everyone's going to stay with Stadia based on what I'm hearing.
Who knows, man? Like, maybe
they're totally going to stay. They're going to be real loyal to fucking Farming Simulator.
Maybe in a year's time, Stadia is going to be in a far better position. They'll have a bunch of games that would have released by then. But we're going to have to. The main thing we're going to have to wait for is they're having the release of the free version where you can just play. It's at 1080p, 30 frames or something, and you're able to just buy games through Stadia for free and play it on whatever laptop or whatever thing you have. That's going to be the real test, because that's when everyone's going to be jumping. Like, a lot more people are going to be jumping on board because it's completely free to get into. You're right. I don't think they'll be able to hear it anyway. You're all good.
All this Google talk is making me so uncomfortable. I just can't fucking sit still. You know what? It's kind of what I think is what happened is that Google is fundamentally the most successful search engine on the planet. Mm. And they did a great job with Google Maps.
Yeah.
And then everything else is garbage.
Yep. They've just been riding off the coattails of having the number one search engine for all of this time.
And I don't know what it is. But with all of their products, I don't know, whoever's in senior management, I feel like it has to be all the people who got in on the ground floor when it was just focusing on search engines and Google Maps are still making decisions for the company now when it's meant to be this, you know, enormous, multifaceted organization. And it's just not working.
Yep, you heard it here. Google Stadia, just not working.
Yeah, and shots have been fired. Google, get your fucking shit together. You're meant to be better than this.
And something that needed to get its shit together as well was the game Battleborn. Did you ever remember this game, Battleborn?
No.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I have no fucking
clue. Battleborn was the big fucking, was the one going up against Overwatch. And obviously destroyed Overwatch. Overwatch never stood a chance because that's... That's why everyone's playing Battleborn today and instead of Overwatch. So, all right, obviously I'm being sarcastic here. Battleborn is Gonski. This article's by Brett Makedonski from Destructoid. Battleborn, already dead for all intents and purposes, will be officially dead in a year's time. Gearbox's doomed hero shooting MOBA will be taken offline in January of 2021. 2K Games has revealed its plans to pull the plug on Battleborn servers at the beginning of 2021. When this happens, Battleborn won't be playable in any way. It has already been pulled from digital storefronts on Steam, the PlayStation Store, and the Xbox Store. In late February 2020, Battleborn will no longer sell microtransaction currency. So yeah, they're finally slowly putting it out to pasture after all these years. So Battleborn was a title.
I've never even fucking heard of this game.
Yeah, it was exactly right. It was a title by Gearbox.
And I play MOBAs.
It came out.
I'm a big MOBA player, and I'm like, what is this game?
It came out around the same time as Overwatch did, and it's hero based MOBA, exactly like, you know, team based shooter, the same as what Overwatch was. All these different characters, and apparently the game wasn't too bad, but, you know, people already had Overwatch. They had their game, so it absolutely failed. I remember seeing it on sale, like, the following week at Big W for absolute pennies, you know. It was like, you know, 20 or 30 bucks or something for a brand new AAA title.
Oh,
yeah, it didn't do well for Gearbox, and that's why they went, oh, maybe we should do Borderlands 3. We need to make a bit of money here.
Well,
it was didn't do too well, and, it's finally dying. I had a look... to see if there was anyone watching on Twitch anymore. There was exactly zero people viewing.
But no one's playing Borderlands 3 either.
Oh, look, I haven't had a look to see what the Twitch numbers are on that. But
dude,
anyway,
have you tried fucking playing a multiplayer game?
I haven't played Borderlands 3 for a while. I've had my time with it. Maybe when the DLC comes out, I might pick it up again.
In the first couple of weeks when it came out, it was so hard to get into a game with other players because no one was playing.
Mm.
Yep. Not a good sign in terms of sales. Like, I don't know the actual numbers, but from my perspective, it didn't look like a good sign.
They said it was the best-selling Borderlands game yet. It sold quicker than any other Borderlands game in history. Blah 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 blah. Mm. I don't know how it's doing in the long term though. But anyway, the reasoning two gay
games. You heard it here first. More shots. Shots are being fired.
Two gay.
Fucking going after all the big companies today. They're too gay.
Too gay, even for Lockie.
Yeah, they're too gay even for me. I'll take my daddy, dream daddy simulator over this. Thank you very much.
Oh, man. The reasoning 2K gives is impeccable. It wants to focus our efforts and resources on other projects. Battleborn is not a game that deserves efforts and resources any longer. At time of this is not them saying that anymore. This is back to old Brett. At time of writing, there are 15 concurrent players on PC according to the Steam charts. It hasn't had a peak of more than 100 concurrent since May of 2018, despite being free to play. Consoles add to that number, but not in any meaningful way that will keep the game alive. Here we are faced with the unceremonious end to a game that was never ceremoniously received. It feels misplaced to call this tragedy or unfortunate or even just kind of a bummer. All those imply that someone cares. Wow, this guy really went to task.
Yeah.
Battleborn will die as it lived, with overwhelming indifference from nearly everyone. In 2023, you might remember Battleborn and think, oh yeah, that was a game. Just as in 2018, you might have remembered Battleborn and thought, oh yeah, that is a game. And that is exactly what I thought when I saw the title to this article. It's like, oh yeah, the Battleborn, that was a game. Yeah, I know it was all editorializing at the end there, but it was very, I like what he said. And I do very much agree with it, so I thought I'd leave it in there. But yeah, Battleborn, dead. Do you care?
Well, it's a game that I'd never even fucking heard of up until just now, so not really, no.
Yeah, neither do I. It's funny, though. I'd be curious to see what it's like for those 15 people who are still playing it. You know, like, how do they even get in matches together? Like, are they all on the same Discord or something and they just jump on the same server? I don't know.
I don't know. There's a game for everyone.
Or it's just at the back of the Gearbox offices that just got Steam open with, like, 15 fucking...
Maybe they're moderators. And they're being paid. Like, Gearbox hasn't figured out that, like, they're still paying these people to moderate, so like it's their job, but there's nothing for them to do.
Yeah. Oh shit. Alright, look, that's enough for the news stories for the week. I've nothing left to say about Battleborn because who gives a fuck? But anyway, let's jump into our gaming impressions. It's going to be a super, super quick gaming impressions this week because all I've played is more Pokemon, which as I mentioned before, you know, it's just more Pokemon and I'm very quickly gotten bored of it and I'm still going to finish it. I still need to play you. Yeah. Let's battle, bro.
Well, I haven't been able to find my fucking Mr. Mimes yet.
Oh, shit. I've heard about something called Mimikyu. What's that?
It's a Pokemon, I think.
No.
I think it's the Pokemon that kind of looks like a retarded version of Pikachu, and it's like a ghost or something.
Oh, that one. Oh, it's an item in Smash, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the only way I know it, because I haven't fucking come across it in this game.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No worries. All right. Well, look, yeah, so Pokemon, I've played a bit more, but I'll wait till, I'll finish it by next week. I'll give my final review on it then. But I have finished Jedi Fallen Order.
Congrats.
Oh, man, it was so much fun. It was awesome. Some of the most fun I've had with a video game this year. I don't know anymore if Outer Worlds is my game of the year at the moment. Awesome. Obviously, I've still have more stuff to play before the year's over. But yeah, it's going to be coming in close between these two. And Yeah, it's funny. Look, there's all those issues that I mentioned last week. There's some glitchiness, a bit of lack of polish. You know, you can get caught in things sometimes, or, you know, I fell through the earth at one point. I did have to reset once. Not the console. I had to sort of reset my quit to the menu and jump back in because I was stuck in a spot somewhere. So I've had a few technical issues, and since I've gone back to planets and done a lot more running around, and I've sort of been sprinting around the map, I've noticed far more slowdown. And I think it's just because, you know, I've already experienced these maps and I'm running around them a lot quicker. It's a bit harder for it to render, I guess. I'm not sure, but the slowdown, it seems to be a lot worse. But.
Well, it is like pretty much the last thing of this console. This game was designed to push the existing gen consoles to their absolute limit. So I'm not too surprised.
This is on a PS4 Pro though, so I'd hate to see what that slowdown would be like on a regular PS4, especially
an Xbox Slim.
But that's the thing though. I also have it running. Yeah. There's a lot of games on Pro nowadays. You have an option to do 4K or favor frame rate, and I've got it on 1080 favoring frame rate, and it's still dropping in those spots. So
look.
If things like that would bother you, I'd say for the most part it's not too distracting at all. But if you know, in the end game there, that's going to bother you a lot, then keep that in mind. But at the moment, I would, if you're a fan of Star Wars, this is a no-brainer. You got to get this. The story, I can say, I'm not going to spoil anything here, but I end up really enjoying the story. I thought it had a bit of a lull for like sort of the first, like maybe third, or it gets probably when you get to about halfway through the game, things start moving a lot quicker, and I really appreciate it. And the characters sort of came into their own a lot more, as well as Cal, the protagonist you play as. He sort of came into his own a lot more as well too.
His name's Cal.
Yeah, his name's Cal. Cal, like, Kessis, I believe.
Oh, it reminds me of Superman. His name's Kal-El.
Well, there you go. He does have powers and blah blah blah. So maybe they were trying to draw.
Gone for a little bit of a. Did they Zack Snyder it and make him like Jesus? Everything had to be
maybe
fucking
Jesus.
If
I told you, it might be a spoiler. No, they don't make him like Jesus. But yeah, look, it's a great story though.
Sweet.
Yeah, towards the end gets really, really good. I would definitely recommend giving it a crack if you're on the fence about playing it. Lockie, I know you're thinking about getting it on PC. I've heard it runs far better on PC.
Sweet.
So I'd definitely recommend grabbing it. I've had an absolute
depends on the PC. Everything runs better on the PC if you're gonna sink fucking $2,000 into your parts.
Yeah, but I've heard that people, you're not getting these frame rate issues
and wouldn't.
Yeah, and there's other glitches and stuff like that. So
you'd be fucking bawling if you spent $2,000 on a console and it was still getting like frame rate drops.
Oh, but like glitches is a different story though. Like you'll find that some PC ports will be bad and have more glitches than the console versions will run better. But like glitches I've heard aren't as bad, that you're not going to like have to reset and stuff if you're playing on PC. That's what I've heard though. I haven't played it on PC personally. But yeah, from what I've heard of people who've played it, they all seem to enjoy it a lot as well.
Mm.
Also, there's a weird narrative dissonance with the sort of Dark Souls approach that they've taken. You're playing through a narrative game where it's sort of semi-linear, but you know, these stormtroopers are respawning every time you rest, or you know, every time you come back to an area.
Yeah.
And you know, in a game like God of War, it sort of made more sense because you know there's these creatures that inhabit this world or whatever, and they could be coming from anywhere because they're fantasy and they're monsters. But you know, these are just stormtroopers, the exact same stormtroopers appearing in the exact same spots every single time. It just feels weird when you're going through a story to just like have this clear just video game element that doesn't correspond with the narrative at all. I really don't think it needed to have the Dark Souls side of things. And saying that, it didn't bother me because I thought they had plenty of checkpoints. And I played through on the second highest difficulty, which is what I recommend you play it on as well too, because I found it was a challenge, but probably the most I had to repeat a boss was like 4 or 5 times or something like that. You're not going to have the Dark Souls thing where you're versing like 20, 30 times and you're fucking throwing your controller at the screen. At least for me anyway, I had friends who said they had to turn it, take the difficulty down for some moments. But for me, playing through it that way was like easily the most satisfying way to play it. And it actually felt good to finish one of these bosses because you get narrative rewards, or you get to like, you know, go find a chest or something like that, as opposed to Dark Souls where you just get like maybe a bit of lore from an item that they drop.
I fucking loved that about Dark Souls. Yeah, like no, it made you really fucking try. You had to work hard to find the narrative.
It wasn't
fucking, you know. It was very withholding of its narrative, but it was there if you're willing to read through. I have watched so many YouTube videos enjoying people summarizing the actual storyline arcs that are, you know, if you get the right items and you unlock the right dialogues at the right time, it's great.
Play something like Control then, where you actually have an actual narrative you can follow, but it's also peppered with fucking tons and tons of lore. Same as this as well too. There's lore everywhere. You scan these things everywhere, and there's actually interesting shit. I actually looked at a lot of it.
No, Dark Souls broke new ground. Fuck you.
Look, I'm not going to say it didn't. It's obviously a massive hit, and everyone loves it, and people have tried to mimic it. I'm not going to say it's not a success.
Mate, Dark Souls is sitting in my top 10 list.
Yeah, look, it's a gaming fucking phenomenon. I'm just saying that's a problem I have with Dark Souls that I think is done better in this game. But I think Dark Souls has had a lot of good influence on games and a lot of shitty influence. The combat in this is sort of mimicked off Sekiro and sort of off Dark Souls as well too. And I thought the combat was one of the strongest points of it. The combat was a lot of fun. But look, we won't stick on this too long. We do have to wrap up soon. So I will give my review score, and I'm going to give this one a fucking 11 stim canisters out of 13. Ooh, and that reminds me, make sure when you're playing this, you're going to get fucking destroyed if you do not go back and do some exploration, because there is stim canisters hidden in places that you fucking need to find. Otherwise, you'll finish the game with only like one or two stim canisters, and that will be a nightmare to get through the bosses. Stim canisters are just the fucking health pickups that you'd have in Dark Souls or whatever. So
StarCraft had stim packs.
Yeah, there you go.
In the 90s.
So does, yeah, fucking Fallout's had stim packs as well too.
Was that also in the 90s?
Oh, I can't remember when the first Fallout was. It was like pretty early on, back when it was like the fucking 2D.
Man, back when Blizzard was king in the 90s, like it pretty much defined all sci-fi games just reuse what they made.
Oh, geez. So yeah, no, good score for Jedi. Definitely a recommend for sure. But
yeah, I'm definitely going to pick this up. Okay, this is going to be my surgery recovery game to actually lift my spirits.
Yeah, nice. So yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about them. And yeah, so
well, if your review turns out being dog shit and wrong, I'm going to be pretty fucking stroppy with you.
Well, as I said, look, I do have those issues with it. My score isn't based on how I think other people received it. It was based on how much I enjoyed it. So the problems I gave may bother you more than what they bothered me. But yeah, for me, the overall experience, that's how much I enjoyed it. Like, yeah. So anyway, buddy, enough from me. Enough rambling. Buddy, you can look forward to some Anthem discussion coming from us in the future. I'm going to try and check out Disco Elysium. I'll try to check out Grease. There's a lot of stuff to fill out this December while there are no games coming out. So you can look forward to all of that.
Yep. And I've just picked up Civ 6 on Switch's new expansion pack that came out this week. The Gathering Storm and the Rise and Fall expansions on PC have been bundled together and put on the Switch and the other big consoles. So you can actually play that now on your PS4.
Won't be, because playing fucking strategy games fucking on consoles are a pain in the ass.
Man, I don't know what it is, because I played Civ 6 on PC and I enjoyed it then, but when I got it on Switch, even though the graphics were considerable downgrade, it's so relaxing. It's such a nice experience.
Are you playing it on TV or handheld?
On TV.
Oh, okay. Wow.
On TV, because you're the Joy-Cons are really comfortable, where your arms and your chest can sort of be freed up and you can just really relax while playing the game.
I always end up finding myself like it. With my hands like above my head or something like that when I'm playing with separate Joy-Cons.
Totally. Yeah. I do spastic poses like that as well all the time, and you just play around with it. It's great.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a great feeling, and yeah, I played it for 2 hours just before this, and that's why I'm late to this podcast recording. It's looking pretty fucking good. If you're enjoying if you like Civ 6,
let's get more into it.
You're getting more, and it's all great.
Nice. We'll get more into that next week, I guess.
I'll rate it 5 Civs out of Civ 6.
Oh, and I'll put my final review score onto Pokemon as well too next week, because I'm like 5 or 6 badges in, so I'm going to smash it out. I'm going to get it done. So, yeah, thanks, everyone, for listening to News to Reviews for another week. If you want to send us some feedback or have any questions, please send it through to news2reviewspodcast@gmail.com. You can also check us out on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Give us a like, give us a follow, give us a share. It all helps us. Give us a review on iTunes as well. That helps us a lot too, just getting this thing out there. But yeah, thanks again for listening for another week. And yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything to say to our listeners? Second one? All right.
No, you know what you did. I'm kidding. Still love you. Thanks for listening.
Please look after yourselves and look after one another.